Welcome to the Why in Psychiatry, your go-to 15-minute pragmatic podcast where we delve into the intricate nuances of psychiatric topics. Each episode features interview-style discussions that explore the intersection of the mind, medicine, and the human experience. Together, we'll uncover the hidden why. The compelling reasons, profound insights, and groundbreaking discoveries shaping the psychiatric landscape. So, grab a seat, a warm beverage, tune in, and let's embark on this journey to unlock the mysteries of the human psyche. Only on The Why in Psychiatry.
Hello, welcome to The Why in Psychiatry. It is your host, Dr. Amayo, fourth year psychiatry resident. And today I have with me our co-host, Dr. Andrade, psychiatry attending extraordinaire. Today we'll be talking about psychopharmacology in the pregnancy population. But first I'll let Dr. Andrade introduce himself.
Yes. Yeah, hi. My name is Venkatesh Andrade, and one of the faculty members, and I'm basically involved in teaching the residents, especially the PGY3 and PGY4 residents.
Yeah.
And thank you for this opportunity.
All right. So our first question, how do you treat depression in a pregnant person?
Perfect. So this is a pretty good question. So the first thing actually we need to know is what is postpartum blue and what is postpartum depression? Right. So if you look at it, about 80% of the pregnant woman will actually have postpartum blue. Postpartum blue is a lot of mood lability, right? But it does not cause any functional impairment and it resolves by itself. And it doesn't mean that this particular patient is going to develop any psychiatric problems moving forward. Postpartum depression, on the other hand, is that the patient will have all the mood symptoms consistent with the DSM diagnosis of depression plus having functional impairment, right? And this needs to be treated and addressed. And usually postpartum depression happens during the first 4 weeks after the baby is born or after the delivery, but it can happen anytime, right? Now, how to actually treat and how to diagnose postpartum depression? So the scale that we commonly use, you can use a PHQ-9, but the most relevant scale that you can use is in Edinburgh postnatal depression scale. And it's usually out of 30. And a score of 10 or more usually says that the patient has postpartum depression and it needs to be treated either with psychotherapy or medication or a combination of the two, right? The reason we treat postpartum depression is the consequence that it has on the mother as well as the baby if it's not treated, right? For example, the mother is not able to take care of themselves. They're more likely to get involved in substance use, more and more neglect their own health as well as the baby's health. And postpartum depression, if you don't treat it, the consequence it has on the baby is low IQ, delay in the language development, behavioral problems, and later on psychiatric problems in the baby.
Yes, sir.
And regarding the treatment of postpartum depression, right? So psychotherapy definitely plays a huge role. It's a backbone of therapy, right? And you can actually use psychopharm. So whenever a person is depressed or has a prior history of depression, I usually encourage the patient, hey, don't stop your antidepressant unless it's paroxetine or Paxil, which we can change to something else, right? Because paroxetine is associated with atrial and ventricular septal defect. Otherwise, all the other SSRIs are very, very safe in pregnancy. For example, research data shows that before the pregnancy, if a patient is on antidepressant and you stop the antidepressant, the risk of postpartum depression is 30%, right? Patients who have actually been on antidepressant, you basically decrease that particular risk, right? If the patient is naive to any antidepressant, you have not used anything, the safest one is sertraline and bupropion because they are safe even in pregnancy or breastfeeding. Mm. But bottom line is, if the patient is antidepressant, it's not paroxetine, continue it, right? When the baby is born, breastfeeding, continue the same antidepressant because you don't want the baby to be exposed to two different antidepressants, right? And most of the antidepressants are safe in breastfeeding too.
Besides paroxetine.
Paroxetine too, breastfeeding you can actually use it, but not during pregnancy.
Not during pregnancy, yeah. That's true. And so moving forward, how would you treat if my patient has bipolar disorder or history of bipolar disorder, how do I continue treatment if they become pregnant?
So even with bipolar disorder, right? So the fear that a lot of physicians actually have treating bipolar disorder in pregnancy and the patient is on mood stabilizers. I'm talking mood stabilizers like lithium, sodium valproate, carbamazepine, or lamotrigine, right? Antipsychotics also act as a mood stabilizer, but they're not exactly mood stabilizers. They don't do the same thing that lithium or sodium valproate does, right? So if a patient has been tried on different medications for bipolar disorder, nothing has worked, and lithium is the only medication that has worked, I usually tell the patients, hey, there's a risk of Epstein's anomaly, but the risk is very low. Hmm. It's in 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 20,000 babies that's born, right? It's very, very low. But this is the only medication that you've been stable on. I continue it.
Do you start it during the first trimester?
I do not, right? If the lithium is the only medication the patient has respond, I continue the lithium, but by 16 to 18 weeks of gestation, I'll do an ultrasound. We look at the heart of the baby. The first thing to be developed is a tricuspid valve by 16 to 18 weeks. That is normal, continue the lithium, right? Only precaution you have to use is just at the time of the labor, because your plasma volume expands by 50%, actually by 24th, around 24th week of gestation, right? So just before, actually, when you deliver the baby, the plasma volume will shrink. So the patient can go into lithium toxicity. So about 48 hours before the delivery, you decrease the dose of lithium, right?
By 50%?
Yes, you decrease of 50%, and once a baby is born, then you can actually titrate the dose, right? Because research data shows that if a person has bipolar and you stop the mood stabilizer and don't put them on any medication, the risk of postpartum mood problem is 85 to 100%, right? Huge, huge risk, right? Sodium valproate, you can continue if it's the only mood stabilizer that has worked. You can actually, on the about a month before the pregnancy, put the patient on folate, 3 to 4 milligrams, continue during the first trimester, and the continuous sodium valproate, right? There's no placebo-controlled trial. You can't do any placebo-controlled trial. But if you want to be on the safest side, lamotrigine is very safe, use an atypical antipsychotic. All atypical antipsychotics have been found to be safer. I'm not saying safe, safer in pregnancy, right? So the best way to do is go with an atypical antipsychotic, right? But continue lamotrigine, because most of the patients with bipolar disorder spend a lot of time in depression. And the suicide risk in bipolar disorder is highest in depression and mixed episode, right? If you look at the ratio of depression to mania and bipolar 1 is 3 to 1. If you look at the ratio of depression to hypomania bipolar 2 is 40 to 1. So it's spending a lot of time in depression, right? So keep the lamotrigine, right? Because it's not found to be teratogenic, or the risk is very, very low.
And even with the neurotube defects that's associated with valproic acid, if that's the only medication that's worked for this particular patient, it's okay to...
If nothing has worked, then the risk is too high of taking them off, right? But majority of the patient, actually, they would not have tried actually atypical antipsychotic. We have a bunch of them now.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do if you don't want to take any risk is switch to an atypical antipsychotic.
And lastly, I've had a lot of cases where pregnant women come to our inpatient ward, and I'm thinking, what is the best agitation management for this patient? How would you tackle that?
So management of agitation, right? The most important thing is actually look at the non-pharmacological way of managing it, right? Because you have to actually rule out all the other causes for agitation, right? Are they hungry? Are they thirsty? Are they in pain? Are they sleep deprived? Right? Sleep deprivation is huge in pregnancy, right? Mom can't sleep, right? Because in mother, so most of the time, actually, when we go into non-REM sleep, nobody can wake you up. But when you are actually a mother, the instinct is so strong that mother will wake up even in the deep non-REM sleep, but the father is still sleeping, right? So mothers usually don't get enough sleep. So you have to actually look at that. Look at medications that the patient is on, right? Are they on stimulants after the delivery of the baby, right? Are they using any substances? Do a urine toxicology, right? So look at the underlying cause. Once you have ruled out all the underlying cause, then you actually go with psychopharm, right? Psychopharmacology for agitation is totally depends, right? If they are depressed, treat the underlying depression, right? If they're anxious, treat the underlying anxiety, right? If they are delirious, treat the underlying cause of the delirium. And that the last resort, if nothing works, then I'll actually go with an antipsychotic, right? So I try to avoid medication as much as possible, till I actually know that. But if the patient is going to hurt themselves or others, then definitely I'll actually go ahead and actually use atypical antipsychotics.
Okay. Yep. Well, thank you. So in conclusion, if a patient is to become pregnant, continue their antidepressant.
Yes.
And if you were to pick one, sertraline or bupropion yes. seems to be the safest.
Yes.
And if it's one that you have to avoid, it will be Paxil during the pregnancy, but it's okay during lactation.
Yes, during lactation, it's absolutely okay using paroxetine, but not during the pregnancy.
Not during the pregnancy. Yeah. And for bipolar manic disorder, if they are already on a if they are already on a mood stabilizer, continue the mood stabilizer. Even lithium, it's okay to continue.
And if they have not responded to anything else.
If they have not responded to anything else.
But if they have been just on lithium and not been tried on atypical antipsychotic, I'll say go ahead and actually use that.
Okay.
Use something that has the least side effect and the least possibility of being teratogenic.
But as long as you don't leave them, you don't stop all medications.
Yes.
The risk of stopping all medication is worse than.
Exactly.
And then for agitation, I think you brought up a good point. Do the non-pharmacological option, try to see what the root cause is. And it seems like antipsychotic is the most safest after you've ruled out everything else.
Right. Well, and even when you use antipsychotic, be careful, right? So what happens is that when you use antipsychotic, it can also cause neuroleptic induced movement disorder, akathisia, which usually gets misdiagnosed because patients are restless. They think that the patient is agitated. You give them more antipsychotic, making the akathisia worse. And akathisia is a huge risk factor for suicide, homicide, plus neuroleptic induced movement disorder is the most common cause of violence in the hospital.
Oh.
All right. So you need to know, actually, you need to actually be an expert in diagnosing akathisia.
So, well, thank you very much. And this concludes our episode.
Thank you.
And that's why. This has been another segment of the Why in Psychiatry. A huge thanks to Dr. Amayo and Dr. Hendrada for their unending well of knowledge. For the next episode, we'll jump into akathisia. Don't get too restless waiting. Support us on our Patreon if you believe in us. Once again, thank you for joining us on this wild ride. We're grateful for your support and ears, both of which we promise to keep entertained. Until next time, always remember the why in your psychiatry.